Throughout this season of Lent, we have been following Jesus as he has revealed who he is to a variety of people, to seekers and skeptics, to disciples and doubters, to the hopeful and the hurting. And again, we have seen that people encounter Jesus, but they do not always fully understand him. Well, today we move from the Gospel of John back to the Gospel of Matthew, and we find ourselves at a turning point in Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew's Gospel, up until now, Jesus' ministry has largely taken place in the countryside, in small towns and villages of Galilee. But now Jesus turns toward Jerusalem, the center of religious life, political tension, and growing danger. This is not simply a change of geography. It is a movement toward confrontation, toward suffering, toward the cross. Matthew tells this story carefully to help us see what is really happening. What looks like a parade is actually a declaration. What looks like celebration is filled with tension. What looks like triumph is already casting the shadow of the cross, because Jesus knows where this road leads. And still, he enters the city. Palm Sunday invites us to stand with the crowd and ask the same question that they asked: who is this? And as we begin Holy Week, that question will follow us. It will follow us to the table on Maundy Thursday, where we will remember Jesus' last meal with his disciples and hear his commandment to love one another. It will also follow us to the shadows of Good Friday, where in a tenebrae service of gathering darkness, we will hear again the story of Jesus' suffering and death, and allow the weight of that story to speak for itself. And it will follow us all the way to Easter morning. And so today we begin the most important week of the Christian year, and as we hear this familiar story, we're invited not just to remember it, but to enter it, to listen carefully, to notice both the joy and the misunderstanding, the celebration and the tension, the hope and the cost. And so I invite you to listen not just with your ears, but also with your hearts. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with the first verse, listen for God's word to you. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So there's a very, very, very strong rumor that this community loves parades. I've never been to one of your parades yet. So I don't know what happens at parades here, but if you've ever been to a parade, and I have, you might know something important. Not every float lives up to the hype. Sometimes you wait and wait and wait and wait, and when it finally comes, you think, that's it. Our expectations shape how we experience what we see. And Palm Sunday is a story about expectations. The people lining the road thought they knew what kind of king was coming. They expected strength. They expected revolution. They expected rescue. They are celebrating the man that they believe will be their savior. And instead, they got a man on a donkey. Not the king that they wanted, but the king that they needed. Palm Sunday asks us a question that still matters. What do we do when God shows up, but not the way we expected? Because sometimes the greatest disappointment in faith is not that God fails to show up. It's that God shows up differently than we imagined. And that's the tension here in the heart of this story. Because what most people probably don't realize when you read this text is that there were probably two parades that day. From the west came Pontius Pilate. From the east came Jesus. From the west came Rome. From the east came the kingdom of God. Pilate rides on a war horse. Jesus rides on a donkey. Pilate comes surrounded by soldiers. Jesus comes surrounded by ordinary people. Pilate comes with armor. Jesus comes with palm branches. Pilate comes to control. Jesus comes to redeem. Two processions, two visions of power, two understandings of what saves the world. Rome believed that peace comes through force. Jesus shows that peace comes through love. Rome believed power comes through domination. Jesus shows power comes through humility. Rome believed fear keeps order. Jesus shows that love transforms hearts. And Matthew wants us to see something clearly. This is not just about getting from A to B. Jesus isn't just getting a ride into Jerusalem. He is announcing what kind of king he is. Not a king of war, not a king of domination, but a king who comes in humility, a king who comes in peace, a king who comes in love. And in Jesus' world, when a new king entered a capital city, people lined the streets to welcome them. There would be shouting, there would be celebration, there would be hope in the air. People believed that their future might be changing. And that is exactly what the crowd thinks is happening here. They see the prophecy, they see the symbolism, They see the moment and they believe this is the king that we've been waiting for. They're not foolish. They're hopeful. They just misunderstand what kind of victory God is bringing. Jesus is intentionally fulfilling the prophet Zechariah. Look, your king comes to you humble and riding on a donkey. But Matthew includes another phrase that we often skip over. He says, tell the daughter of Zion. And that phrase would have meant something powerful to the people hearing it. Because daughter of Zion was not just another name for Jerusalem. It was a deeply emotional name. It was how the prophet spoke to God's people when they were hurting, when they had suffered loss, when they had experienced defeat, when they wondered if God had forgotten them. The prophets would speak to them like this, daughter of Zion, God is coming back to you. It's tender language, relational language, almost like saying, tell God's weary people, tell God's waiting people, tell the people who are wondering if God still sees them that your king is coming, not to conquer, but to reclaim, not to dominate, but to restore. Not like a general invading a city, but like a king returning for people that he loves. And Matthew is saying this parade is not just about power, it's about restoration. God is coming back to his people, and they just don't recognize what that will look like. And then the crowd begins shouting, Hosanna, which we often hear as an expression of praise. But originally it was a cry for help. The word itself quite literally should be translated, save us. And so it's not just celebration, it's also tinged with desperation. They're crying, save us from Rome. Save us from oppression. Save us from injustice. Save us from fear. And if we are honest, we know that prayer. Save us from illness. Save us from uncertainty. Save us from grief. Save us from everything that we can't control. Hosanna, save us. And then something remarkable happens. The people take off their cloaks and they place them on the road. And that little detail in the story, it's not random. That's what people did when they crowned a king. In the Old Testament, when Jehu was declared king, the people spread their cloaks beneath him. And so the crowds, without fully realizing it, are enthroning Jesus, declaring his kingship that they don't yet fully understand. They wave branches, symbols of national victory, because about 200 years earlier, when a Jewish freedom fighter named Judas Maccabeus drove out a foreign empire and restored the temple, the people celebrated with palm branches. And so when the crowd waves palms for Jesus, they aren't just welcoming a teacher. They're welcoming someone that they hope is going to overthrow Rome. They're welcoming a liberator, a king. And they're right to hope. But they misunderstand how God intends to save them. Because in their world, when a new king entered a capital city, people would line the streets. They would sing and they would celebrate and they would welcome the ruler that they believed would change their future. And that's exactly what they do think is happening. It's like a royal procession. It sounds like a royal procession. It feels like a royal procession. But something about it is different. Because this king is not coming to take power. He's coming to give his life. They want freedom from Rome. Jesus wants to bring freedom from sin. They want changed circumstances. Jesus brings changed hearts. They want political rescue. Jesus brings redemption. They are right about who he is, but they're wrong about what that means. And this is where the tension grows. Because the same voices shouting Hosanna will soon shout crucify him. The same people celebrating him will soon abandon him. The same crowd welcoming him will soon reject him. And we want to believe that we would be different. But would we? Because we celebrate Jesus when he meets our expectations, but we struggle when he challenges them. We trust when life makes sense. We question when it doesn't. We follow when faith feels inspiring, but we hesitate when it becomes costly. So Palm Sunday, it holds up a mirror. And if we look honestly, we might just see ourselves in that crowd. Because we all want a certain kind of Messiah. We want a Messiah who's going to fix things, who's going to remove difficulty, who's going to defeat our enemies, a Messiah who makes life easier. We want that Messiah on a war horse. But God sends a Messiah on a donkey. We want the strength. But God shows humility. We want control. But God shows compassion. We want victory. But God shows sacrifice. And that's the great paradox of Palm Sunday. God doesn't save the world the way the world saves the world. God saves the world through love. And Matthew quietly shows us something important. Jesus is directing everything. He knows where the donkey is. He's made prior arrangements. He knows what will be said. He knows what's going to happen. Nothing in this story to Jesus is accidental. Jesus isn't being swept along by the events that are occurring. Jesus is walking towards the cross with purpose. Nothing in Holy Week happens to Jesus. Everything happens through Jesus. Because love chooses the road that fear would avoid. And then Matthew gives us the real question of Palm Sunday, not about the parade, not about the donkey, not about the shouting. But this, the whole city asks, who is this? That's the real question. Not just for Jerusalem, but for us. Who is this? The teacher? A prophet? A comforter? A helper? or Lord? Because the crowd answers, this is the prophet Jesus. They see something true, but not everything. And that's the tragedy of Palm Sunday, not rejection, but partial understanding. They welcomed Jesus, they misunderstood him. And we often do the same. We accept Jesus as teacher, we accept him as our comforter, we accept him as inspiration. But Palm Sunday asks us, will we accept him as King and Lord? Because this parade is actually the beginning of a coronation, but not the kind that anybody expected. The king will be crowned with thorns. The throne will be a cross. The robe will be in mockery. The victory will look like defeat. Because what looks like weakness to the world is the very power of God. And so Palm Sunday leaves us with a question: which parade would we attend? Which king would we go out to see? The parade of power or the parade of love? The parade of control or the parade of trust? The parade of fear or the parade of grace? Because Jesus is still riding into our lives, still coming gently, still coming humbly, still coming in love. And he still asks, who do you say that I am? Is he only king when life works, or is he also king when life hurts? Is he only Lord when we understand, or also when we don't? Because this is the good news. Jesus does not stop loving us when we misunderstand him. Jesus doesn't stop loving us when we fail him. And Jesus does not stop loving us when we doubt him. He keeps coming. He keeps loving. He keeps redeeming. Because that is what the prophets meant when they said, tell the daughter of Zion, tell God's people, tell the weary, tell the waiting, tell the ones who aren't sure that God still sees them, your king is still coming. Still coming with grace, still coming with mercy, still coming with love. And so this week, let us follow him. Follow him past the parade, past the shouting, past our expectations, all the way to the cross. Because only when we follow him to the cross do we finally see what kind of king he is. Not the king we expected, but the king we needed. Not the power that we imagined, but the power of love that saves the world. And that is why we wave our palms today. And that is why we will walk with him this week. And that is why love will have the final word at Easter. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.